Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, on Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, on Twitter, at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 29th of June, 2024, and the title of today's show is Biden's Debate Train Wreck, Reform UK Has Establishment Panicking, and Julian Assange Freed. So what a week it's been. What more could you say? You know, it gets better and better. And, you know, the media is full of exploding heads over the performance of Biden at the debate on Thursday night. So I'm going to cover quite a bit on that, but also I want to cover what's going on in the UK as well. There are a lot of parallels between the way the mainstream fake news media is covering Nigel Farage and the Reform UK party and how Trump has been attacked relentlessly in the US. So that's very interesting to see. And then, of course, we've got the shock release of Julian Assange, which I think took everybody by surprise. So there are some interesting commentaries on that going around. But first, I want to just remind everybody that Biden is an actor. Sometimes it's easy to forget that fact. And, you know, we kind of watch all the news about the guy and how incapable he is. But it's really important to remember that this is not Biden. And, you know, my feeling is that this has all been a setup by the White Hats. Now, I want to start with an article by Brian Cates on his Substack. And he was challenging the view of many of the Republicans and the MAGA movement who were saying that Trump was walking into a trap because the CNN rules for this debate seemed to be stacked in favor of Biden. The idea that there was no audience, that the mics were cut off when it wasn't that candidate's turn to speak, and that obviously it was being moderated by CNN rabid anti-Trump presenters or anchors. So it, on the surface, it probably did look like a setup. But Brian Cates actually has a counter argument, which I want to share with you first because it's very interesting. Obviously, this was published before the debate happened. So it was quite insightful of him to have put this view forward. And the title of the article is "Let's Discuss Why Trump is Smart to Be Doing This Debate with Joe Dementia on CNN. Trump is Ready for This." A lot of political commentators and pundits are saying they think presidential candidate Donald J. Trump has made a huge strategic error by agreeing to debate current resident Joe Biden on CNN tonight. Hoaxes targeting Trump, both old and new, will play central roles in this debate. Trump gets to rightfully demand apologies from Biden and fake news for the three big hoaxes from the last round of 2020 debates. One, the Russiagate hoax. Two, the Russian laptop hoax. And three, the Fine People hoax. He can't do that live to their faces in front of a national TV audience if he's not there. Doesn't matter if Biden or moderators refuse to apologize for their roles in three big hoaxes. In fact, it would help Trump if they didn't. This morning, Rich Barris made a concise and well-written post explaining why he thinks Trump has made a mistake. And then Larry Schweikart responded. So Rich Barris, the people's pundit, again, absolutely the wrong decision by Trump to debate Biden on these grounds. The absolute wrong decision. Zero reason. Instead, he could have helped advance badly needed reform to the debate process. It does not serve voters. It serves big media, the state, and big, and I haven't got the screenshot of the rest. And Larry Schweikart, I'll bet you a steak dinner Trump comes out with better numbers than before. And I agree with Rich that Trump agreeing to do this debate on CNN is a mistake if we were still trapped in 2020, but we're not. We're not trapped in 2020. This is not going to be the 2020 electorate watching this debate. There's been a vast paradigm shift in this country over the past 3.5 years since the stolen election. So I agree with Larry. They were never going to budge on the debate format, so the only other real option was to not have a debate. The public knows Trump faces a stacked deck again, just like he did the last time, where that stacked deck was utilized to attack him with three big hoaxes. Again, one, the Russiagate hoax, two, Russian laptop hoax, three, fine people hoax. How does Trump demonstrate, inarguably, that his enemies have lost all their fake narrative mojo over the last 3.5 years? Trump knows. He's the consummate showman, and tonight is going to be one hell of a show. Trump will find ways to force them to acknowledge the three big hoaxes from 2020, even if they won't apologize for having pushed them. Then he'll talk about the new round of hoaxes based on the failing lawfare from this present cycle. It's a rigged game, but the side that usually does this rigging doesn't have its mojo anymore, thanks to the Great Awakening, and most of the audience knows what's up this time around. It won't even matter that the people with no mojo left will loudly insist Joe Dementia won the debate. Do people not see how it boomerangs on these idiots if they repeatedly cut Trump's mic so he can't respond to the hoax lies? Everything else has backfired and boomeranged on them, but this won't? I sincerely doubt that. And then after the event, Brian Cates reported, the day after the Biden campaign ended, what's next? As I suspected he would, despite all the rigging in his favour by CNN, Joe Biden went out there last night and face-planted spectacularly in front of a national audience. So what happens now? Expect to see a couple of days, maybe even a week, where the Biden campaign team insists with increasing anger that he's not dropping out of the race in the face of louder and louder insistence from the formerly friendly fake news media and uniparty machine that he needs to put the country first. Will Biden suddenly declare he's withdrawing from the race due to health reasons? If he does, wouldn't he also have to resign as president? What kind of a look would it be to say, cough, cough, sorry guys, my health is deteriorating, I've decided not to run for re-election, but don't worry, I'm still healthy enough to keep running the country as president until January 20th, 2025. Don't overlook the massive fraud of the Democratic/Uniparty that has now been inarguably laid bare in front of the entire country due to one televised debate. They all knew this guy wasn't fit for office for the past 3.5 years, and they all covered up for him and propped him up anyway. Not just the political uniparty machine, the Mockingbird media was in on the fraud too. They just spent 3 years raising hundreds of millions of dollars from donors for the Biden-Harris campaign, the entire time that they knew Biden was having real and obvious issues that interfere with his ability to do the job of president. They own this shit sandwich and they're going to have to eat all of it, a bite at a time, as I said on X last night. And it shows his tweet or X post. Democrats, you own this. You enabled this guy. You propped him up for the last 3 years and stridently denied, denied, denied he had any real age or cognitive issues. You have to eat this entire shit sandwich now. Get over here and open wide. Some other things that occurred to me as I watched the debate and then the massive fallout from it mushroom in real time. A lot of pundits and political commentators spent the run-up to the debate insisting that Trump was making a massive mistake by agreeing to go on CNN with these moderators under these rules. And he refers to that earlier post I just read to you. And his post says, was there ever any doubt Trump knew what he was doing? He knew Biden wouldn't be able to stand toe-to-toe with him for an hour, even in a rigged debate. Joe is too far gone, too old, too unwell. This won't get any better for Biden as the night goes on. Right now, a sheer look of fascinated horror on Biden's face as Bash asks him if he has any limits on when a child should be killed by abortion. Just to comment on this again, I just want to repeat the fact that none of these people are actually referring to the fact that Biden is not Biden and is being played by an actor. So, you know, that adds another dimension to the whole story, in my opinion. When Biden literally mentally glitched during the debate and froze up, Trump's face said it all. And another of Brian's ex-posts, the look on Trump's face as he watches Biden literally mentally glitch and freeze up says it all. Responding to Kinakoa the Great, humiliating. After weeks of speculation, since the debate was scheduled and the rules were publicised on how the moderators would cut Trump off and disable his mic, this caught everybody watching by surprise. And again, Brian Cates' ex-post, Tapper has cut Biden off several times now. Who saw this coming? That the moderators, instead of repeatedly cutting Trump's mic, as was feared, are instead engaged in trying to limit the damage Biden is doing to himself by his mumbling answers. Tapper ended up cutting short Biden's mumbled answer several times as Trump watched with a bemused look on his face. The fallout from this debate fiasco will ripple outward for weeks. The sheer abject panic on the faces and in the voices of the CNN and MSNBC post-debate panels that I saw was very revealing. And again, Brian Cates' ex-post, the senile old guy they stole an election for and who they've been propping up for years just lost this debate tonight in epic fashion to the guy they've been relentlessly smearing and trying to destroy for going on 9 years now. Of course, they're in a panic, and it's only going to get worse. Now that the whole uniparty world is turning on Biden en masse, how much longer does Attorney General Merrick Garland defy that congressional subpoena for the Biden interview with former special counsel Robert Hur? A week? 2 weeks? And again, Brian Cates on X, you all realise Garland is going to dump those Hur tapes of the Biden interview just as fast as he can now, right? Yes, indeed, the 25th Amendment has come back to haunt Joe Biden, just as Donald Trump said it would. After watching an hour of the panic response to the debate on CNN and MSNBC, I posted this. Notice the dramatic sea change currently underway. It took this debate for 3 years of denial about Biden's obvious unfitness for office to be demonstrated in an unarguable way to the point they are literally forced to concede he needs to go now, before the election. The 25th Amendment just came back to haunt Joe Biden. It's no secret what's going to happen to the fake news polls over the next couple of months after that shit show of a debate by Biden. For their own credibility, the fake news pollsters are going to have to drop Biden's numbers and raise Trump's, or they'll make their fraud far too obvious. You can't keep trying to influence the public if you give the game away. Polls are utilized to try to shape public perception, but what the public is perceiving here is so obvious that the pollsters don't dare directly challenge it. And again on X, who thinks after this debate performance tonight, Trump's poll numbers go up by a lot, while Biden's numbers absolutely crater? And not since the news media covered up for FDR's incapacitation have Democrats and their media business partners engaged in such subterfuge against the public. That corrupt and evil party and their uniparty business partners in the GOP establishment are not going to escape the fallout now that what they've done in stealing the 2020 election and then covering up for Biden's true condition has been exposed. Again on X, don't forget the Dem Party fronted Biden as the 2024 candidate and did years of fundraising for a Biden-Harris 2024 ticket while covering up and lying repeatedly about his true condition. There will be fallout for that. Massive fallout, money fallout. And despite it not being covered live, this video went viral anyway, and it is truly damning. And he's referring to a video in his post on X showing Biden being led off the podium by Jill Biden, of course, and looking completely frail and incapable. And Brian posts, it's over for Biden after he paused and needed the help of his wife to get down the stairs. No matter what anybody claims to you, it's over. And that's in response to Alex Jones, who actually posted the video. Shocking ending to the Trump versus Biden debate. What most people didn't see. This says it all. Whatever happens over the next couple of days as this massive exposure operation continues, I'm pretty sure it won't be boring. The UK Daily Mail also weighs in on this, what they call car crash. Biden's horrific car crash debate performance throws his entire presidency into doubt and sparks panic calls from Democrats for him to step down. But president refuses to step aside as he visits a Waffle House. This was published yesterday. Joe Biden immediately faced calls to drop out of the presidential race following his catastrophic debate with Donald Trump last night as the 81-year-old stopped off at a Waffle House after delivering a desperate performance in Atlanta. Biden's campaign spokesperson, Lauren Hitt, declared earlier this morning, of course he's not dropping out. But a torrent of his own party members and strategists are clamouring for their aged president to throw in the towel off the back of the car crash debate, with one anonymous Democrat telling NBC it was time to talk about an open convention and a new Democratic nominee. Biden is about to face a crescendo of calls to step aside, one Biden-backing strategist told the New York Times, while another Democrat put it even more flatly to the Washington Post. "We're so effed," they said. "He has great material, he just cannot deliver a single line." David Plouffe, a Democratic strategist who worked on Barack Obama's 2008 campaign, told MSNBC, "Biden's showing was kind of a DEFCON 1 moment, a reference to the highest alert level used by America's defense community." Plouffe also remarked that Trump and Biden look 30 years apart, despite an age gap of just 3 years between them. One political analyst summed it up in the hours following the torturous 90-minute ordeal. "There's going to be a lot of bedwetting among Democrats tonight." Trump, meanwhile, was seen contorting his face in shock and derision at Biden's confused meandering and frequent gaffes in the debate, at one point telling millions of Americans watching at home, "I really don't know what he, Biden, just said. He's not equipped to be president. You know it, and I know it." Evidently feeling peckish after having expended his limited mental energy on the stand, the president stopped off at the fast food joint for a bite to eat with his wife Jill, but was confronted by patrons over his sorry showing. "Some are concerned that you're not fit for the job. Do you have any concerns about your performance?" one customer asked. The president bit back. Well, it's hard to debate a liar, claiming his Republican opponent trotted out a string of untruths and declaring that he believed he had performed well. But he was powerless to distract from the reality of his performance, something Trump's team has gleefully made light of, compiling all of Biden's mumbling and bumbling in a video entitled, "Needless to Say, the Drugs Didn't Work." The Democrat was combative and did not shy away from trading barbs with Trump, but as the debate went on, it became painfully clear that he simply did not have the capacity to contend with his confident and smooth-talking Republican rival. Biden sounded tired and hoarse, frequently stumbled over his words, and on one occasion completely lost his train of thought and trailed off into silence, prompting moderator Jake Tapper to dive in and rescue him. One senior Democratic strategist told Reuters after the debate that it would be unprecedented for an incumbent to pull out this late in the election cycle, but that there would be calls for Biden to do just that as Democrats fretted over the stark display of the president's failing faculties. "I think the panic has set in," David Axelrod, a longtime advisor to former US President Barack Obama, said on CNN after the debate about Biden's performance. "And I think you're going to hear discussions that, I don't know, will lead to anything, but there are going to be discussions about whether he should continue." Another longtime strategist told NBC, "The chatter of replacement is absolutely going to explode. There's no coming back from this disaster." Former special presidential advisor turned CNN commentator Van Jones said that even though he loved Joe Biden, his debate performance was painful. "There are people who are going to want to see him consider taking a different course now," Jones said. "We're still far from our convention, and there is time for this party to figure out a different way forward if he will allow us to do that. But that was not what we needed from Joe Biden. He had a test tonight to restore the confidence of the country, of the base, and he failed." Those comments were echoed by former Democrat Senator Claire McCaskill, who told MSNBC, "My job right now is to be really honest. Joe Biden had one thing he had to do tonight, and he didn't do it. He had one thing to accomplish, and that was reassure America that he was up to the job at his age, and he failed at that tonight." "There's no question this was not what the Biden campaign wanted or needed," said ABC's Mary Bruce. After the debate, CNN's John King pointed to his cell phone, saying he hadn't seen anything like the concern expressed to him in text messages as the debate went on. "There's a full-on panic about this performance," said NBC's Chuck Todd. After spending much of her tenure defending him, even Vice President Kamala Harris was forced to admit Biden had a slow start in an interview with pro-Democrat CNN's Anderson Cooper, who declared the president had disappointed his supporters. Cooper noted that Biden's debate performance last night was visibly less convincing than when Harris herself debated him in the Democrat presidential primary back in 2020. "He was a very different person on the stage 4 years ago when you debated him. That's certainly true, is it not?" Cooper asked pointedly, noting it was scary for Democrats who were watching to see their president melt on national television. But Harris sought to turn attention away from the debate and refused to be pulled into a conversation over the evident decline in Biden's mental capacity, ignoring repeated questions from Cooper that focused on the president's performance at the lectern. "Listen, people can debate on style points, but ultimately this election and who is the president of the United States has to be about substance," Harris said. I got the point that you're making about a 1.5 hour debate tonight. I'm talking about 3.5 years of performance and work that has been historic, she concluded. You can't honestly say, can you say that you are not concerned at all having watched the president's performance tonight? Cooper asked. It was a slow start, that's obvious to everyone, Harris repeated. I'm not going to debate that point. I'm talking about the choice in November. Harris also appeared on MSNBC to beat back the idea that Biden performed badly during the debate and trotted out the same defense. Well, it was a slow start, there's no question about that, but I felt it was a strong finish, she said, during an interview with MSNBC's Rachel Maddow before speaking with ABC. Harris said she spent a lot of time with Joe Biden behind the scenes and insisted his supporters should judge him on the successes of his administration rather than his debating prowess. That's the Joe Biden I see every day, and I would urge folks to look at the record and look at the record of accomplishment, she said. Well, Biden's certainly historic, but not for accomplishment, more for destroying the US. But Harris's seemingly impromptu media tour sparked speculation that the Biden campaign was deeply concerned about the fallout of the debate. You don't send the Vice President of the United States out if you won the debate, typically, former White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said on MSNBC as the political panel laughed. Biden supporters consistently express worry about the president's age and mental capacity, and he did absolutely nothing to reassure them. One of the most shocking mishaps occurred just minutes into the debate when he lost his train of thought while making his case on tax rates and the number of billionaires in America. The president embarked on a meandering ramble before trailing off and silently looking down at his lectern. After a pause of several seconds, he looked up and mumbled, "We finally beat Medicare." At other times, Biden made some puzzling non-sequiturs that seemed to undercut what the campaign has pushed as his strong points, including the economy and abortion rights. As Biden critiqued Trump's economic record, the president suddenly pivoted to Afghanistan and how Trump didn't do anything about that, although the botched withdrawal of Afghanistan is widely considered one of the lowest points of Biden's presidency. Later, as Biden singled out state restrictions on abortion, he confusingly pivoted to immigration and referred to a young woman who was just murdered by an immigrant. It was unclear what point he was trying to make. Trump has been reluctant to make light of Biden's age, given that they were born only 3 years apart. He largely remained silent as Biden delivered his gaffes and allowed the Democrat to dig his own grave, but on a couple of occasions couldn't help but highlight his adversary's issues. I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence, he said at one point when Biden delivered a word salad about the border. I don't think he knows what he said either. Trump cruised through much of the debate, but stumbled at a few key points, including the question of how he would reassure voters that he would respect his oath of office after the January 6, 2021 attack on the US Capitol. Trump tried to avoid addressing the issue, defending the people who stormed the Capitol and blaming Biden for prosecuting them. What they've done to some people who are so innocent, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, Trump told Biden. And that part, I agree with him. I don't believe in the stumbling through some of the key points. Anyway, continuing. Trump warned that the members of the congressional committee that investigated January 6 could face criminal charges, as could Biden himself. Biden shot back, "The only person on this stage who's a convicted felon is the man I'm looking at." Biden then brought Trump's recent criminal trial in New York over hush money payments made to porn star Stormy Daniels, charges on which he was convicted. "I didn't have sex with a porn star," Trump retorted flatly. I'm not going to read the rest of this because they're repeating some of these charges from Biden about things like suckers and losers, which have widely been debunked. And that isn't mentioned in the article, so it's hardly reporting on the true state of events. So that's what the media is saying about this. But I came across an interesting post on X just a few minutes ago, actually. It's by Tommy Lahren. Some folks giving CNN moderators a lot of credit, and I get it, but this was part of the plan. They didn't throw Joe a lifeline because, as I've been saying, they do not want Joe. They simply allowed him to sink. It wasn't because they suddenly have a vested interest in fairness. It's because they wanted Joe to fail in front of the world. Bait and switch time. And I'm inclined to agree with that, given the mass of the same talking points immediately after the end of the debate, with the Democrats all calling for a new candidate to run in place of Joe Biden. Of course, Joe Biden is saying he's not going to stand down, and he's also said he's going to participate in the second debate scheduled for September. So it's going to be interesting to watch what happens in the next few weeks. The DNC conference isn't until August, where they would confirm their candidate for the election. So there's quite a bit of time for the shit to hit the fan, as it were. I'm going to move on now to the UK general election, which is happening in less than a week's time on July 4th, which I feel is rather significant. I've said before that I have a feeling the White Hats are behind this snap election. And the fact that it's July 4th, I'm hoping it's going to be Independence Day for the British, you know, as it's Independence Day in the US. But it's interesting because Reform UK, led by Nigel Farage, is soaring in the polls. Not caught up to Labour yet, but there's a lot of negative stuff coming out about Labour. But the establishment are using the same playbook as they did with Trump. They're trying to discredit the guy with false stories and basically trying to contradict everything that he says, which is part of his manifesto. And last week I reported on the fact that he'd made a comment that the Ukraine invasion by Putin was provoked because of NATO's expansion. And Boris Johnson basically said he was a liar. I can't remember the exact words, but Boris Johnson said exactly the same thing back in the day when he was Prime Minister. So he's just spouting the narrative, anything to undermine Nigel Farage. As that attempt failed miserably because the history supports Nigel Farage's position, they tried something else this week, and they had a Channel 4 documentary which had a recording of a guy who was posing as a campaigner for Reform UK and Nigel Farage in Clacton, which is where Nigel Farage is standing, who was making very racist comments. Well, it turns out the story is not quite as it was presented, and the Daily Skeptic reports on this. Racist Reform activist filmed by Channel 4 is an actor. This was published yesterday. The Reform activist filmed by Channel 4 using a racial slur about Rishi Sunak while campaigning in Clacton has turned out to be an actor who is well-spoken but specialises in rough voices, though the activist and Channel 4 have denied that he was a plant. Isabel Oakeshott broke the story on Talk TV this morning. She said, "You know, there was bewilderment within the party yesterday as to who this guy was. The party was certainly familiar with some of the other characters, and there's no excuse for any of the languages that they used. But the worst language, the most egregious comments, were from Andrew Parker, who is really not a player within the Reform Party. so it's just very, very murky. He bears a remarkable resemblance to an actor whose details can be quite easily found on the internet. You can use software recognition that gives a 99.9% confidence rate that they are the same people, a professional actor. And crucially, this professional actor specialises in so-called rough voices. So if you've been to his showreel, his rough voice is exactly the same as the voice of the character in the on the Channel 4 undercover documentary. An urgent investigation is now underway. If it turns out that this character was a paid actor or even acting in a voluntary capacity for whatever their reasons, you know, maybe they have a political agenda, I don't know. If that turns out to be the case, then there will be hell to pay for the production company and Channel 4. Reform leader Nigel Farage tweeted, "Andrew Parker was the man that made the astonishing racist comments that have given us so much negative coverage. We now learn that he is an actor by profession. His own website says he is well-spoken, but from the moment he arrived in Clacton, he was doing what he calls rough speaking. This whole episode does not add up." Farage adds that Parker initially lied to the Telegraph about being an actor. When the Telegraph spoke to Andrew Parker earlier, he denied being an actor. He has now admitted that was not true. What else is he being untruthful about? Oakeshott retweeted a clip posted by James Sutherland showing Parker's rough voice. Sutherland writes, "Here's a clip of Andrew Parker, the actor featured in Channel 4's footage, making racist remarks to voters. In the first part of the video, you can hear his natural voice. He then does what he calls his rough voice, which is how he spoke in the Channel 4 footage. Hit job? You decide." Oakeshott notes that Parker lists secret filming as one of his special skills. Parker himself has apologised and claimed he was goaded on. Andrew Parker said he made the comments recorded by undercover reporters in the heat of the moment. Mr. Parker also confirmed claims that he was a part-time actor, but said he got involved with Reform UK after contacting the party himself and volunteering to do leafleting because he believes in its message. He said he had not told the party that he was an actor. Mr. Parker said, "Of course I regret what I said. Christ, I'm not a racist. I've had Muslim girlfriends. It was typical chaps down the pub talk." Asked whether he would like to apologise, he said, "Of course I'm sorry. They were off-the-cuff things that everyone says." He said he had a lot of Pakistani friends and Muslim friends, and that he was sick to death of being asked about the footage. Parker's comments were quite extraordinary, some of which were made to a member of the public on the doorstep. I'm not going to repeat his remarks because I have to say they're riddled with expletives and insults, so I'll move on from that. A spokesman for Channel 4 denied that Parker was paid or previously known to the production team. "We strongly stand by our rigorous and duly impartial journalism, which speaks for itself. We met Mr. Parker for the first time at Reform UK party headquarters, where he was a Reform Party canvasser. We did not pay the Reform UK canvasser or anyone else in this report. Mr. Parker was not known to Channel 4 News and was filmed covertly via the undercover operation." Oakeshott admits, though with obvious incredulity, that it could just be a coincidence. Yes, sure, it's theoretically possible that Channel 4 just happened to strike gold by finding a horrendous racist who just happens to be an actor who just happens to specialise in the same rough voice used in the undercover footage and just happens to be a Reform supporter. It's possible. And of course, this has failed miserably because the more they attack Nigel Farage, the more the supporters are determined to vote for Reform UK candidates. So it's rather like when they attack Trump in the US with the lawfare, that this just galvanised supporters and even added to his support base because people were disgusted with the way that the Democrats were using lawfare against the leading candidate for November's presidential election. Benjamin Fulford, in Monday's report, actually makes mention of the situation in the UK. He says it looks like regime change will come to the UK first with a 4th of July election. The reason he said first is because he was previously talking about the removal of the Biden regime in the US, just putting that in context. Early polls indicate Nigel Farage of the Reform Party is going to destroy traditional political parties. He has a massive 27-point lead over other parties in the district of Clacton. MI5, meanwhile, reports Labour Party leader, presumptive poll winner Keir Starmer is being outed as a former Soviet agent and will be forced to resign. To understand what a Reform Party victory would look like, here are key points of their manifesto. Reject the WEF agenda, cancel WHO membership, reject cashless agenda, laws to stop woke ideology, free speech bill, stop cancel culture, scrap net zero, fast track nuclear energy, support farmers, scrap bans on fossil fuel cars, tax system to support marriage, opposed to CBDCs. Nigel Farage also wants to end the war in Ukraine and investigate vaccine crimes. So you probably see a lot of similarities to what Trump's policies are too. So I go back to what I said last week. I'm pretty sure, well, I certainly believe that Trump and Farage are working together. So we'll see how this pans out. Okay, so on to my next and final topic, which was a big news piece of the week, was the freeing of Julian Assange, which I think took most of us by surprise. However, I must add that to me, it's pointing to this whole situation coming to a climax with this release. And of course, all the information and emails he shared on WikiLeaks, especially regarding the DNC and Hillary's emails, plus the fact that Seth Rich was murdered because we're pretty sure it was him that gave the DNC emails to WikiLeaks, which is why they took him out. And of course, now that Assange is free, then he'll be the one to release that information to the world. Anyway, this article is by Zero Hedge. Julian is free. Assange released after time served plea deal with DOJ, departs for home. Now, I must say, I was a little bit suspicious about this, because why would the US DOJ, controlled by the Democrats, suddenly do a plea deal to free Assange when all the dirt that he has is about the Democrats? To me, it's another white hat operation. Anyway, continuing, Julian Assange is free. This is the official WikiLeaks statement. He left Belmarsh Maximum Security Prison on the morning of 24th of June after having spent 1,901 days there. He was granted bail by the High Court in London and was released at Stansted Airport during the afternoon, where he boarded a plane and departed the UK. This is the result of a global campaign that spanned grassroots organisers, press freedom campaigners, legislators and leaders from across the political spectrum, all the way to the United Nations. This created the space for a long period of negotiations with the US Department of Justice, leading to a deal that has not yet been formally finalised. We will provide more information as soon as possible. After more than 5 years in a 2x3 meter cell, isolated 23 hours a day, he will soon reunite with his wife Stella Assange and their children, who have only known their father from behind bars. WikiLeaks published groundbreaking stories of government corruption and human rights abuses, holding the powerful accountable for their actions. As editor-in-chief, Julian paid severely for these principles and for the people's right to know. As he returns to Australia, we thank all who stood by us, fought for us, and remained utterly committed in the fight for his freedom. Julian's freedom is our freedom. In a shocking turn of events, Julian Assange will plead guilty to leaking US national security secrets and return to his native Australia under a deal with Biden's DOJ that ends a nearly 15-year battle nightmare for the WikiLeaks founder. After spending more than a decade holed up and imprisoned in London, mainly to avoid being sent to the US, Assange, 52, is expected to be sentenced to time served, 62 months in a Belmarsh prison, a high-security facility in southeast London, during a court appearance Wednesday in Saipan, in the US Northern Mariana Islands, avoiding a potentially lengthy sentence in an American prison. Prosecutors had been in talks with Assange to resolve the 2019 case, the Wall Street Journal reported in March, with one sticking point being Assange's desire to never set foot in the United States. To enter a felony plea, defendants generally have to show up in person in court. Assange's team had floated the possibility of pleading guilty to a misdemeanor, the Journal reported, which would mean Assange could enter the plea remotely. The Justice Department and Assange's legal team reached a compromise under which Assange wouldn't have to travel to suburban Virginia, where the original case is filed, and prosecutors could still get a felony plea, the People said. As the FT reports, the agreement aims to resolve what has been a remarkable standoff between the DOJ and Assange, who has become one of the world's most controversial advocates for government transparency and whose legal troubles have spanned multiple countries. The plea deal also offers a neat solution to what was becoming an increasing political headache for the US government. Earlier this year, Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said he hoped the US could find a way to conclude the case against Assange, and lawmakers there passed a motion calling for Assange to be allowed to return to his native home. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz has also weighed in, saying that the British court should not extradite Assange to the US. In February, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture, Alice Jill Edwards, said Assange shouldn't be extradited to the US to face trial, saying he suffered from depressive disorder and was at risk of being placed in solitary confinement. Finally, while this is excellent news for Assange and his family and journalistic freedom everywhere, we can't help but wonder if this astounding result would have occurred were it not for Biden heading into the first debate with Trump with his poll numbers in the toilet. Who cares? They are, and Julian is free. I do agree that this is fantastic news, but there are some suspicions that the person released wasn't actually Julian Assange. And there are photos of him boarding a plane, a private charter plane, to leave London, where he doesn't look like the gaunt figure that we've seen in photographs of him. He looks much rounder in the face and in much better condition than when we've seen him in photographs. So I was very interested to see a report by Stop World Control relating to Assange. What nobody told you about Julian Assange. The news is roaring around the world. Julian Assange, the man who lifted the lid on the unspeakable crimes of the US deep state and revealed them to humanity through WikiLeaks, has been released from prison after 5 years of being in solitary confinement. Julian Assange single-handedly kick-started the greatest awakening of the human race since the beginning of time by revealing to the entire world how the US government is so evil it is hard to comprehend. The WikiLeaks files reveal, for example, how Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are involved in systematic child abuse, among countless other crimes. An example of this is the email communication between Strat4 employees talking about children being brought into the White House by Obama for a party. The words pizza and hot dogs were revealed by the FBI to be code words for girls and boys. According to WikiLeaks, the company Stratfor is an intelligence agency that provides confidential intelligence services to large corporations such as Bhopal's Dow Chemical Company, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, and government agencies, including the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, the U.S. Marines, and the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency. The leaked emails reveal how they participate in parties involving children. After releasing this kind of information to the world, it is nothing less than a miracle that Julian Assange is still alive. This raises a significant question concerning what really happened to him. Was he truly arrested by the cabal, or was he being protected by the good side? In every real-world scenario, these kinds of men are executed by the deep state, and the official story to the public usually reads suicide. That he is alive and well and even was set free speaks volumes to those who don't have their ears stuffed. What is even more significant is that there is a post by the high-level military operation entities who sign their intel drops with the letter Q that says June Julian Assange, or in short, June J.A. This means they knew years ago that Julian Assange would be set free again in the month of June. Was Julian Assange really in prison? As I'm writing this, I decided to check something, and to my amazement, I find a Q post that literally says Julian Assange has always been protected. That is a direct confirmation of what I felt in my gut. It's quite amazing that this comes to me during the very seconds that I am writing this. And it's post 3341, posted on 23rd of May 2019. And an Anon asks, Q, what can you tell us about Assange? And Q's response is, under protection, threat is real, key to DNC source hack 187. Now, I'm not sure what the 187 refers to, but obviously it refers to the hack of the DNC emails. This means that for the public, Julian Assange was finally released from prison, but in reality, he is finally being released from his protection to continue his mission. That signals several things that are highly encouraging. First of all, it means that a lethal threat to his life has been eliminated. In other words, entities who would previously have been able to kill him are no longer around. That is incredibly hope-giving. The good side would never release Assange from protection if there was still a risk that he would be murdered. Could it be that Q managed to take out MS-13, the worldwide network of murderers used by the cabal to take out their opponents? Q did say that MS-13 was their priority. See Q Drop 6, October 29, 2017. That would explain why we're still alive, as well as millions of other brave truth speakers worldwide. A decade ago, we would all have been dead by now. Something indescribably profound is shifting in our world, and we haven't seen anything yet. Another element of powerful hope in the release of Julian Assange is that he is not being released to work as a lonely journalist again, but this time he is supported by the largest military intelligence operation of all time to take down the evil in our world. This is extremely exciting. Of course, for the eyes of the public, he will continue to be presented as a lone journalist, but those who have brains to think, eyes to see, and a spirit to sense will know that something far greater is going on beyond the view of the masses. Is there really an operation to save the world? I've explained in great detail in the past how there is hope for this world, as there is an unprecedented divine military intelligence operation ongoing, globally, led by deeply devoted followers of Jesus Christ, who have been working for decades to save humanity from the satanic cabal. Many of us are so severely infested with negativity that our minds and hearts have no ability to believe that something so good could even exist. But I can say with all sincerity that I have been observing their actions the past years, and I am fully convinced that this operation is legit. Back in 2012, the criminal puppet of the World Economic Forum, Vladimir Putin, who was selling out Russia to the satanic elites, was removed and replaced a few months later by a man who is in every way his exact opposite. A fierce enemy of the elites and a devoted Christian, the new Putin started exposing the Satanism of the Western leaders and opposed their agenda of LGBTQA+, transgenderism and pedophilia. The man who currently plays the role of Putin invaded one of the central operations centres of the cabal in Ukraine, which was a hub for child trafficking, bioweapons, drug dealing, organ trading and money laundering, as well as horrors I cannot even describe here, as you wouldn't believe it. The invasion of Ukraine by Putin is such a threat to the world of the satanic elites that they are still trying to get it back by sending innumerable troops, weapons and funds from almost every nation of the world to Ukraine. They are in total panic, and George Soros said publicly the fall of Ukraine will be the end of their civilization. That says it all. The military intelligence operation has also been exposing to the entire world how deeply nefarious and totally criminal the CIA, FBI, DOD, DOJ, FDA, CDC and all other three-letter agencies are. They have systematically been unveiling the intensity of the corruption of the entire US government, not just to wake up the American people, but to effectively wake up the entire world. Thanks to this highly effective military operation, there are now hundreds of millions of people in every nation of the world fully aware of the unspeakable evil of their governments. They also have been exposing how wicked the news media is, opening the eyes of billions worldwide to the reality of mind control through criminal news media. As a result, millions are thinking for themselves again, instead of blindly absorbing every lie from the news. And these are just a few examples. I can say 1,000 times more. It is therefore utterly irrational and a sign of either severe dishonesty or extreme brainwashing to deny this obvious operation that is strategically saving humanity from the worst evil in all of history. The release of Julian Assange is a milestone in the history of mankind, and it's once again a clear part of this magnificent divine operation to save our world from the grip of Satan. This does not mean there is no war raging in full force. The satanic elites are still trying frantically to submit all of mankind to their diabolical tyranny, and they are preparing a new pandemic, global famine, vaccine mandates, lockdowns, climate disasters, cyber attacks, large-scale blackouts, food poisoning, and so much more. But we are not alone in our battle against this great evil. I ask all who read this to please stop standing at the sidelines and do whatever you can to be part of this army worldwide of hundreds of millions of people who stand up against the forces of darkness and join hands to stand as one with all our differences in culture, faith and opinions. We can lay it all down and say we are one against this monster. Don't fall for the many strategies to divide us. Stand together against this demonic force that is set out to destroy all of us. I believe a major victory will become obvious in the near future. And I have to say, I agree with him because, you know, when you're kind of tuned into all of this, you see the different pieces of the puzzle and, you know, things that seem unrelated, you kind of feel the connection to each other and how things on the surface don't necessarily seem part of the plan. To me, they obviously are. And, you know, right or wrong, that's what I believe. And I find it very heartening to see all this happening and to see how panicky the establishment, the cabal, the deep state across the world is about the Great Awakening and the fact that they are losing, as Trump would say, bigly. So I'm going to leave it there for this week. I have to say I've been celebrating a little because I've officially got my certifications in as an NLP practitioner, NLP coach, timeline therapist and hypnotherapist. So I'm adding quite a number of really powerful protocols to my coaching toolkit, which make some very quick transformations for people, and I'm already using it with my clients, and the results are quite astounding. So if that's something that interests you, please visit my website, thesuccessalchemist.net, and the ideal place to start is with my manifestation assessment, because that will tell you the things that need to be worked on to overcome any blocks to manifestation. And then we can work on those blocks with the techniques that I've just mentioned. So if you go to thesuccessalchemist.net, I now have the manifestation assessment link in the menu. And if you're interested, I'd love to hear from you. Anyway, thank you again. Until next time, stay well, be safe, and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.